Hello, I'm Jim Richards, and I want to welcome you to this month's World Changer Message. Got a lot of things to talk to you about, a lot of things going on in the world, and I don't even know where to start except to say this: it's not over till it's over. You know, that's a saying we used to have in Tennessee when I was growing up, except we said it more like rednecks. It ain't over till it's over. And basically what that meant was when your back is against the wall, when it seems like nothing is going to work out, when it seems like there is absolutely no solution to the problem, you keep your head up, you keep believing, you keep hoping, you keep trusting. And you know what? So far, I've made it every time. God's always delivered me. You know, my mother was just great at teaching me these kinds of lessons. We grew up, as many of you know, you've heard my story, where my father had abandoned us and my mother worked for $19 a week and supported three kids. And as often as possible, my father would come home and steal all of our food. And I can remember actually in the winter not having food and not even having a way to heat the house. And it just always seemed like there was going to be some disaster that would overtake us, that we'd starve to death, or that we would be killed, or that we'd freeze to death. But you know something? My mother was one of those kinds of women that always believed that there was a way. She didn't complain, and somehow she modeled to us that you just don't give up, that you keep looking for some way for things to work out, and that they generally do. You know, I hate to tell you, but it's getting worse in the world. It's not getting better. I would do anything if I could write to you today and say, man, we have had our breakthrough, but we haven't had our breakthrough, but it's still not over. And that's the thing that we've got to cling to, is no matter what we are up against, it is not over. We cannot go to a doom and gloom mentality about what's going on in the world, because God is still God. I can remember throughout my history as a believer watching as different presidents got elected. You know, Jimmy Carter almost destroyed America. He was taking America down the same path that Obama has taken America. And I'm telling you, it seemed like we would collapse. He was expanding government. This was back, and I can remember whenever I would travel, you could only buy gas on certain days, and gas stations were closed at sundown. It didn't seem like there was any way out of it. But along came a man by the name of Ronald Reagan, and brought about a prosperity that was so incredible that really it only stopped in recent years, pretty much under the Bush administration. And when another government got in there that started expanding the size of government, yes, it got worse. But at a time when it seemed like we were sunk, I'm telling you, God made a way. And God always makes a way. The question is not whether or not God will make a way. The question is whether or not we will rise to the situation. You know, the Bible is full of stories of people who were at the end, people who had no hope, people who couldn't see a way out. But you know, we've got to see with the eyes of our heart. We've got to look at God's promises. We've got to see things from God's perspective. And we've got to know that God never changes. And we've got to know that no matter what happens in the world around us, God is still with us. He will not fail us. He will not forsake us. He will not abandon us. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13 is such a positive scripture. It is usually misquoted and taken out of context or twisted around. But it says this: no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. In other words, whatever you're facing, everybody has faced it. Somebody has faced it. Other people have faced it. Other people are facing it. There is nothing unique about your situation. And our tendency, particularly in America, as we face the kind of times that we're facing now, is to think that this is some exception. This is bigger than God's ability. Nothing is bigger than God's ability. I'll tell you, country after country, king after king, nation after nation, and generation after generation have faced power-hungry, dishonest, manipulative people, and God is always either come through for the country or come through for the individual. Because God is faithful. Now listen, He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with every temptation will also make a way of escape that you will be able to bear it. Now, in our minds, we think that that way of escape is when we have reached the end of our rope, when we can't hold on any longer, when we can't go on anymore. That's usually the way it happens, but that's not God's intent. Why do we so often get delivered at the very last minute? I'll tell you why. Because we resist change. We resist following God into the unknown. And it's usually not until our ship is ready to sink, it's not until our back is against the wall, that we finally open our hearts to the possibility that trusting and following God might be easier than the circumstance that we're facing. God always makes a way of escape, but remember, it is up to us to follow Him through that process. He will not force us to go through any process. And here's the incredible thing. If we follow Him early enough in the way of escape, there's victory for everybody. There's collective victory, and people get delivered. If we wait too long in the way of escape, then sometimes we are delivered just by the skin of our teeth. You know, we are living in a time when the gospel, and you know this, for the last 30, 40, 50 years, the gospel has been greed-driven. We've been given this idea from the government, from the church, from everybody, you know, that there's a utopia out there that we can find. Let me tell you, through the utopian gospel, we've lost the concept of sacrifice, of obedience, and of following God. You see, we think that we can just say the right formula, and God will make the magic begin. We think that if we're living good, then bad things should never come into our world. But I got news for you. There's a whole world of bad people out there. There's a world that's living under the sin influence. There is a world that is trying to rule through darkness. Now, I know you don't believe that, but most of the church world believes that, and that's what you've heard most of your life. You know, right now, we got to face this, and I said this in our World Changer letter. We've got to be like Abraham. We've got to look at how it is. We've got to look at how bad it is, but we've got to then look at God and say, can I trust God in light of this? I mean, think of how many times the world or the salvation of the world got down to just one person, one act. You know, it was one person that saved a baby that delivered the nation of Israel from Egypt. I tell you, Moses' mother had the courage to defy the orders of Pharaoh, and Moses grew up to be the deliverer of Egypt. Esther, we talked about her, how that she became the deliverer of the children of Israel. How many times has it gotten down to one person or just a handful of people that finally said, you know what, enough is enough. I'm trusting God. I'm standing up. I'm going to do the right thing. And things get turned around. You know, we're living in a world of darkness. And I have told people, if you go back and listen to my messages for the last 35 years, I have said that in our lifetime, we would see light and dark become polarized, and the dark would become ever so dark, but the light would become ever so light. Well, here we are. This is not a new message. I am not telling you anything that I have not warned of for years, but for years, I've given you the gospel of peace and grace and the love of God so that we could either change what was coming into the world or be ready to face what's coming into the world. Let me just talk a little bit about what's going on. Right now, our president is planning a meeting with the UN to turn the table against Israel and to try to force Israel into its pre-1967 borders, I believe it is, or whatever date those borders were expanded. And we know that if this happens, this will be war on Israel. And we know that right now, the caliphate is working. There was a conference in America not too long ago about the worldwide caliphate. And there's a conference in Europe right now, worldwide caliphate. All over the world, countries are hosting conferences planning this worldwide caliphate by the nation of Islam. And their first goal is the destruction of Israel, and then their next goal is the destruction of America. You know, there's still a flotilla being planned for September, and the whole thing is just designed to force Israel into defending its borders so that the UN can declare Israel a terrorist state and justify the other Arab nations going and attacking Israel. These are all written about in the book of Revelation. If we've read the end of the book, we should have known this stuff was coming. And, you know, this is not negativity, because I'm going to tell you how to walk through this stuff. I'm going to tell you how to live through this stuff. I'm going to tell you how we can possibly change some of this stuff. But this flotilla, I want you to know, there's two U.S. television networks that are going along to document this because they want to make Israel look bad. You know, right at this very moment, Iran is just, they are just a breath away from their nuclear arms program being operational. Right now, they're building launching pads for nuclear missiles in South America that can reach the United States. That's crazy. I mean, who would have ever imagined that we would, you know, that these things would be happening and our country would be on the wrong side. Well, you know what? Our country, and some of you listening, and it doesn't matter if it's a Democrat. You know, I was not in favor of Bush. I was not in favor of Obama. And I was not in favor of McCain. You know, and I know you're saying, well, that doesn't leave much. Well, I'll tell you what it does leave. You have to realize that we cannot be complacent. We are Christians before we're Democrats or Republicans or Americans or anything else. We are believers. We are children of God first and foremost. And every decision we make about how we vote, every decision we make about really how we spend money and everything that we do should be based on kingdom values and kingdom principles. And it's time for America to wake up. It's time for the church of America to wake up and say, you know what? I can't just follow the crowd anymore and think that everything is going to come out all right. Right now, Congress has been rendered pretty much irrelevant by executive orders and regulation czars who their very existence is unconstitutional, and they pass unconstitutional laws that violate our constitutional rights. Basically, Congress has become irrelevant, and the current Congress is acting as if it is irrelevant by allowing the president to do these things and not standing up. You know, the president is passing regulations through FCC to take away our freedom of speech and take away our freedom of broadcasting. Right now, the Environmental Protection Agency is shutting down companies and destroying businesses, all in the name of trying to go green. And you know, I'm all for the environment, but you have to understand something. You can't destroy our livelihood trying to save the planet, which the real truth is we know it's not going to save the planet, because the Bible warns the planet heating up is going to be one of the very first signs of the era that we live in. And it's not the product of what man's doing. It's the product of solar activity. And it's here, and it's here to stay. You know, the FDA is forcing us to eat foods we don't want to eat. They're allowing toxins into our food, and they're shutting down and making it illegal to have certain health foods, to even drink whole milk in some places. The Department of Energy is shutting down coal mines and shutting down oil wells. Man, these are just a few of the things that are going on. I could spend hours telling you all the unconstitutional, all the anti-God, anti-biblical things that are happening in our nation. And all it would really do would depress you. But I have to tell you this because we have to wake up. Of course, one of the questions is, well, why isn't our country awake? Well, number one, nobody wants to face radical change. Nobody wants to. We've talked about this. Nobody wants to admit to the enormity of the problems that we face as a nation. And I'll tell you something else. Nobody wants to give up their power base. Pastors don't want to give up their power base. Churches don't want to give up their power base. Politicians don't want to give up their power base. Nobody wants to say what's unpopular, even though it could save the lives of millions of people. And, you know, on the other side of that coin, nobody wants to hear what may be required of us to bring about the kind of changes that need to happen. History shows that the majority of people nearly always get it wrong and nearly always follow the wrong people. You know, Israel and Judah always got it wrong. You know, when Israel and Judah began to backslide and began to really get in trouble as a nation, there were prophets of God. There were people who were listening to God, and they were saying, we can repent, we can change this, we can turn to God. But then there were people saying, no, the prophets of doom, God is going to destroy us. We have no way out of this. Well, you know, for the last 50 years, the prophets of doom said, God's going to destroy us, we have no way out of this. Well, if you think God's doing it, how could you possibly think you could change anything? But the truth is, in the midst of the prophets of doom, there have been voices that have said, there's something we can do about this. You know, the sad thing is you can't really get Christians involved politically that will vote and do things from a biblical perspective. Christians are just as committed to the party spirit as your most corrupt politician in Washington. Christians vote along party lines. They very seldom ever vote based on people's track record and based on what's happening. And that's uncomfortable. Nobody wants to make these changes. Listen, so there were the prophets of doom in Israel and Judah. Then they were just saying, God's going to destroy us. But those who were listening said, no, God's got a plan of victory for us. Then later on, it finally reached a time where they really were going to go into captivity. God sent prophets in saying, get ready to go into captivity. Don't fight against it. This is going to happen. Then the false prophets and the people that were trying to keep their political and spiritual following came along and said, no, God is going to deliver us this time. Let me tell you something. The majority of people nearly always get it wrong because very seldom are people really listening to God. What people are usually listening to, according to the Bible, is they're listening to their own corrupt heart when their heart is filled with fear instead of filled with confidence and trust for God. Listen, Judah, they never believed they'd go into captivity. They could understand why Israel was going to go into captivity because, after all, look how Israel had compromised itself. But Judah did go into captivity. You know, the world never wants to admit when problems are imminent. You know, America just didn't want to believe. Even when Germany was taking over Poland and other countries, America did not want to believe and admit that we were facing a world war. Nobody wanted to believe that Germany and Japan would ever start a world war. The Germans didn't want to believe that they were in trouble as Hitler was coming to power because, you know, after all, the Reformation had come out of Germany. Man, this is where the whole Protestant movement came from, is out of Germany. How dare anybody try to warn them? They had become so proud. You know, people never believed that the Soviets would kill millions of people and enslave 1 billion people, or that the Chinese would kill nearly 1 billion people. Nobody wants to believe and admit that stuff. We don't want to admit that we've got crooked politicians, you know. Americans don't want to believe anything will ever change our country and the lifestyle that we currently have. Why is it we don't hear the truth? Well, first and foremost, we're not listening for ourselves. I'm telling you, you got to walk with God. You got to get inside your heart. You've got to listen to the voice of God in your heart. And even when you don't understand, you know, God may lead you to do things that you don't understand why. And you say, well, why doesn't he tell me why? You know what? He may be trying to tell you, and he may be trying to tell me, but I may not be able to grasp the why. But I don't need the why. If I have a sense in my heart that I need to do something and I believe it's a God thing, I just need to do it and trust God that he will get me there. See, we've got to trust that we can hear from God for ourselves. Now, you have to realize that right now in America, there's a class war that's starting to rage. And you hear the president talking about the rich. Well, let me tell you something. The rich that he's talking about taxing and the rich that he's talking about taking money away from is actually the middle Americans, the people who create businesses. The mega rich, they're not going to lose anything. The mega rich are not going to lose any power or any money or be taxed. This has nothing to do with anything other than making the mega wealthy more wealthy and giving them the power to take over the world. This is their big move. They believe that they've driven God far enough out of America that they can take over this country. You see, they don't want us to know the truth. Darkness and light, how polarized. And I'm telling you, we've either got to shine the light into the darkness or we've got to be ready to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and do it without fear. But see, those of us who know, we have to do two things. We have to prepare and we have to warn those who will listen. See, if I prepare, then even if I'm wrong, even if we turn things around, even if it gets better, then every day that I have the sense of being prepared, I've got the emotional freedom to hear God, to follow God, to help other people, to pray, to do what I want to do with my life. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Now, I've been living my life like pretty much every day was the last day for a lot of years. Yeah, I forget every now and then, and I get carnal every now and then, and I get caught up in things. But, you know, I've been so close to death so many times, I realize life is very fragile and that we're all going to be leaving planet Earth, and we're going to be leaving, most of us are going to be leaving sooner than we want to and sooner than we think we will. But, you know, we need to be living every day like we've already died. That's what it means to die to self. That's part of it. And so we've got to prepare ourselves. Everybody's wanting to make their lives count. Well, prepare yourself so that you can make your life count. You know, Ezekiel 33, verse 6, says this, if the watchman sees the sword coming, does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his own iniquity, but his blood I will require the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. Now, I understand this is the new covenant. You know, I understand under the new covenant, everybody is responsible to God to hear God for themselves. But I also realize that I have a responsibility to my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I have a responsibility to the people Jesus died for to warn them and to help them prepare, get them saved, get my friends and family saved. Teach people that God's a good God. Introduce them to the grace and peace and faith righteousness so that whatever we face, we can go through it and have absolute victory. You know, in the end, only a move of God's going to save our nation. But remember, it's not over until it's over. Now, the ultra-religious person says, yeah, a sovereign move of God. No, you know that the whole concept of sovereignty, the way it's been taught, is really not scriptural. God is speaking to people. That is his sovereignty. He can speak to people's hearts, but it is up to us to do something because, you know, we can do all the political things, and doing political things and doing natural things just helps us to have peace. And the Apostle Paul said that. That's why Paul said to pray for kings and officials so we can have peace, because we've got peace, we can do something for God. But in the end, unless we use that peace, and see, the church did not use the peace that America has had for the last 50 years to prepare for this moment. The church just built bigger buildings and more cathedrals and bought more jets and nicer suits and built bigger kingdoms instead of reaching the world and investing in the lives of people. Listen to Psalm 127, verse 1. Everybody knows this. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. I want to tell you something. Those of us who hear, we are watchmen. But at the end of the day, watching and preparing is not enough. It's about ministering to other people. You know, use the resources that you have. Every week, repost the things that I share on my Facebook page so that people get encouraged with God. Every week, send people links to sermons. You know, have book clubs. Do everything you can to minister to people. Have I groups. Whatever you can do to minister to people so that people are equipped, so that we either change the direction that our country is going in or we are prepared to face the direction that our country is going in. Now, here's something I always want you to remember. It could be too late for our nation, but it's never too late for us as individuals. You see, as individuals, we can follow God because with every temptation, there's always a way of escape. See, we can bless our nation, and we should be blessing our nation. We should be speaking blessings over our nations, over our city, over our state. But we also need to exercise the rights and freedoms that we have. We need to let our voice be heard in every possible way that we can. And that's why getting this message out, and like I say, reposting and sending people books and sending people messages, all of these things are just ways to get the message out. Having an I group, inviting people into your home, witnessing to people. Let your voice be heard in every single way, but also let your voice be heard politically. Go to our resource page. Go to the link that shows you how to contact every person, every leader in Washington, every state leader, every governor. You can send emails to every single person. Start letting these people know that we want leaders who follow the Constitution, that we will vote them out if they keep taking us deeper in debt, if they keep allowing the president or anybody, not just this president, any president, to use executive order to pass unconstitutional laws, to bypass the Congress. Let them know that you believe we should stand up with Israel, that we're going to stay on God's side, that Israel is our ally, that these other nations are not our ally. They've never been our ally. Let your voice be heard. If you're in another country and you're listening to this, then you see what's happening in America and you learn and prevent this from happening in your country. Man, take a stand now. Don't be like Americans and wait until it's too late. But whatever you do, don't forget the basics of the new covenant. In him, you are righteous. You are qualified. That means that all the promises of God are yes and all the curses of God are no. That means that no matter what's going on, God wants you to have the very best, enjoy the very best, and he will give us the very best that is possible for us to have as individuals. But as individuals who take action, our country could experience the collective blessing of God because of how we stand up, because of how we influence the world. You know, just like Esther, this may be the very day that God uses you to change a city or a nation. And be sure of this, as world changers, we are changing the way the world sees God. And we are positioning ourselves so that no matter what happens, this gospel will continue going to the ends of the earth. Operation 1 Billion is all about getting this to the ends of the earth. Let me remind you, if you're working with us on any of the transcribing projects with Operation 1 Billion, please understand how important this is, and please get us one transcribed message at least every 2 weeks. We want to get these books out there. We want to get them all over the world while we still have the opportunity to do this. And I want you to know, testimonies are pouring in every single day from all over the world and from every corner of America of people that are hearing and discovering this message for the very first time. Listen, it's not over until it's over. And no matter what happens, it's never over for the individual who is willing to follow God with his or her whole heart. Remember, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Keep your heart fully committed to him. See, God is looking for somebody that he can use in a mighty way. We've got to be like the prophet Isaiah that just says, "Yes, here I am, Lord, use me." And if he tells you what to do, do it. If he doesn't tell you what to do, you still have the freedom to do whatever you think will be beneficial. I'm going to tell you something. Believe God. Be praying for God to use you for miracles. Be praying for God to use you in supernatural ways. I believe the greatest expansion of miracles and supernatural phenomena are coming our way. I dream about it. I'm telling you, I dream about it. I see it in my sleep and I shut my eyes. I see the things that God is going to do using you and using me and using the people that we influence. I tell you, it's not over till it's over. God's a good God. He's always good. He will always bring the very, very best to us. But it's up to us to bring the very, very best to our city, to our state, to our nation, to our friends, to our families, because we are the voice of God in planet Earth. You know, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." That means that if we don't let our light shine, there's not any light. There's only darkness. Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth." I'm telling you, if we don't serve as the salt of the earth, this means there is no preservative in the earth. If God wants to love somebody, he's got to use your arms. If God wants to go speak to somebody, he's got to use your feet to get there, and he's got to use your voice to say it. God works through people. That's the way it is, and that's the way it always has been, but especially in this new covenant. Expect God to use you. And I tell you, I'm just praying, and I believe it's going to happen. You'll have dreams about people you need to call that you haven't thought about, or people you'll get in touch with on Facebook, or somebody you need to go lay hands on. Things are going to change in the way God's going to use you, because we're at that place where I believe we're going to start opening up our heart, and we're going to let the salvation of God be manifest in the ends of the earth. I tell you, I appreciate you so much. We are changing the way the world sees God, and we couldn't do it without you.